Good morning. Nice to see you here today. You know, I just love these days in February when it starts warming up just a little bit, don't you? It was like 19 degrees at my house this morning when I got up. It's like, it's hard to imagine. Anyway, you know, I'm a bachelor this weekend, so, all right, you give me a little sympathy. I will tell you this, though, I almost didn't make it this morning, all right? Yesterday, of course, the Masters is going on, and I'm enjoying that, you know. Family's out of town, sitting in front of the big screen TV all afternoon and evening. And yesterday, I had a meeting here, and as I was going home, I stopped at the store, and I bought this nice little steak, and I was going to make that steak and a baked potato for supper. I'm going to cook it on the grill. And last night, I was watching the Masters, and a little devil popped up on my shoulder. Does he do that with you? And he said, John, order a pizza. I said, okay, I think I will. You know, I thought he was an angel at first, but I found out later it was a devil. And so I called Papa John's. And, you know, the guy answered the phone, and he said, would you like to have one of our large pizzas with five toppings? And I said, yes. And he said, well, what toppings? I said, well, I'd like pepperoni and sausage, and then some more pepperoni, and some more sausage, and extra cheese. That's five, right? He said, okay. So he made my pizza, and he brought it, and it was just me watching the Masters, you know, nice, cool Pepsi, and I didn't eat it all. I ate it all but one piece. That piece is still laying on my counter if you'd like to come by and get it this afternoon. But I'm telling you what, that was the worst night I've ever had in my life. I mean, are you talking about indigestion, heartburn, acid reflux? The fourth time I got up, the dog looked at me and like, dude, you're really cramping my style trying to sleep tonight. And I got up this morning about 4:15. And I'm thinking, boy, that is not the thing to eat on Saturday night before you have to preach. But you know what? I think, you know, singing that song right there, it was like, you know, I almost didn't sleep at all last night. Sounds like a song, doesn't it? But I'm so excited to be here today. I really am, because this subject that we started last week it's really lit a fire, not only under me as your preacher, but under a lot of you. And I'll share a little bit of that about with you here in just a moment. But last week, if you were here, we started this thing about understanding that it's little things in life that make the biggest difference. And this is what we said to you last week. It's often the small things that no one sees that result in the big things that everybody wants. Right? I mean, there's little things about faith that if we get these things right, if we develop these spiritual disciplines in our life, it's going to make a big, big difference. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 10 is where we started. It's kind of the theme verse of this entire series. Do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. Remember Zerubbabel, rebuilding of the temple, leading this first wave of refugees back to Jerusalem after their being in captivity. And they had this tremendous task before them. But to do anything great, you got to start with something small. Any great journey begins with one step. And last week we started that. I was talking to you last week about choosing a word. This is so cool. I got so many emails and texts and phone calls. And, you know, one beautiful lady said to me over in the cafe in between services, she said, Pastor John, my one word is seek. And she just took a minute and told me about how God was teaching her something wonderful with just this small, one little word that she's chosen. And some of you sent me emails and texts and different things about this one word and how you're struggling with it and how God is teaching you. And that is awesome, because that's the beginning of the journey. And I think God can use this idea to really make a difference in your life and in my life as well. So here's where we're going to start today. I believe this statement with all my heart. Your life will always move in the direction of your strongest thoughts. Think about that. I'm sure we have some people here this morning that have had problems with addiction. You know this is true, don't you? Right? I mean, when you're addicted to anything, that one thing just captivates every thought and every desire to feed that addiction. And then when finally God and or whoever helps to lead you to a place of sobriety where that becomes your strongest thought, that's when you finally achieve it. I don't care where you are in life this morning, whatever is captivating your thoughts more than anything else, that's the direction you're going. Let me just tell you right now, and I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, I think that this is one of the things that's actually killing the family. You know, I read this interesting article last week about growing up in a porn society. And how it's absolutely just killing our families. And men that are entrapped in that, they're just, you know, they try to hide it, but it just destroys them from the inside out. Whatever your strongest thought is, that's the direction that your life is taking. So let me give you some help in changing this and making it kind of what God wants it to be. I love Proverbs 23, verse 7, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he." Okay, that statement I just said about your strongest thoughts produces the direction of your life. Here's the biblical basis for that. Whatever your thought is, whatever you think in your heart, that's what you are becoming. Think about it. If you're here this morning and you're really negative and you think you can't, you probably won't. If you think you can, you probably will. I mean, if you're here this morning and you're just overwhelmed with problems that just tears you down and you just don't know where you're going to go, that's gonna captivate your life. But if you're looking for opportunities, if you're looking for situations to make you better, then you'll likely see some. If you feel like a victim, you're going to become one. If you believe that you can overcome, you can. Let me show you how this is so true in life. Several years ago, Arlene and I, she actually won this cruise through her job, and it was like she could choose one person to go on this cruise with her. It was me. And I'll never forget after we went, it was one of the most positive, beautiful experiences we ever had. I got home and I was looking on the computer. You know how you can see reviews of things? And I found a review of that exact cruise that we were on. And I found a review given by somebody that was in the room beside us. You ask Arlene and I was like, awesome. I mean, you get up and go to the bathroom at night, they make your bed for you while you're in there. I mean, food all night long, great food. I mean, just weight on your hand and foot. It was like wonderful. The ship was clean and awesome. And I read this review by the person next door to us. Terrible. Worst experience of my life. People were just unfriendly. They were just, the food was horrible. It could barely be eaten. And I'm thinking, I don't know who this person is. But my experience was totally different. As you think in your heart, that's who you are. You see, here's the problem. Well, a lot of times, Romans chapter 12, verse 2 speaks to who we are and who we're trying to become from the inside out. Paul says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Now, let me just ask you this morning. I won't ask you to raise your hand, but I know this is true. Do you want to know the will of God for your life? I mean, do you want direction for who you are and where you're becoming? Do you want to know that the life that you live is pleasing to God, your Father in heaven? Then here's the thing. Let me highlight the phrase in this passage that you and I need to make sure happens in us. We need to let God transform us into a new person by changing the way we think. I don't know if you're like me, but I am glad that I don't have the power to know what other people are thinking. Aren't you glad you can't do that? I mean, I'll just tell you right now, as your pastor here this morning, I'm so glad that you cannot know what I'm thinking all the time. Okay? And you know what? I'm really glad that I don't know what you're thinking all the time. You know why? Because sometimes it's not very good. Sometimes it's not very nice. A lot of times it's not very godly. Sometimes we desire the very things that God wants to expel from our heart and from our lives. You know, we're like Paul when he talks about the struggle of doing what God wants him to do. And the very things that he knows that he ought to do is the very things that he does not do. You know, why is it that on a Saturday night, when the preacher knows that he's going to have to speak to a whole bunch of people three times the next morning, that he would order a pizza that has extra pepperoni and extra sausage, and he eats the whole thing? How smart is that? But you see, folks, that's who we are. But we need to allow God to transform us. And let me tell you something, folks. Transformation takes place in your life and mine, not from the outside in, but from the inside out. You see, this whole thing about don't copy the behaviors of the world. What the world tries to do is they try to change the externals because you can't see the internals. And that if you change the externals, you look like you're different, you look like you're changed, but you may not be. Remember when Jesus looks at the Pharisees and he calls them whited sepulchers. He calls them graves that have been painted over with white paint to look nice and shiny and white, when in reality, he said, inside you're full of dead men's bones. But God gives us the opportunity to allow him to change us from the inside out. And the way that he does that is for us to allow him to captivate our thinking. There's a beautiful passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 and 5, and I'm going to get there in just a moment. But before I get there, let me ask you a question. What do you have in your cage? I mean, what is it that you have captivated in your heart, that you have captivated in your life? Because 2 Corinthians 10, 3 and 5 says that we should take captive every thought and to make it obedient to Christ. So what do you got in your cage? You know, what is the soul of who we are? I mean, are we paying attention to these kinds of things that we are thinking about and the things that we are doing? Philippians chapter 4 really speaks to this. Paul says there, "Now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing." Now think about this for a minute, folks. You know, if I were to say to you, here's the one thing. Here's the main thing. Here's the most important thought. What is it? He says in Philippians 4:9, fix your thoughts on. Folks, when you control your thought life, you control who you're becoming. When you don't control your thought life, you are allowing the devil to get a foothold in your spirit and in your soul that is going to affect you negatively in from the aspect of what you're becoming and who you're becoming in God. He says, fix your thoughts on. Now, here's what he does, and I love this in this passage, because what he does is that he gives us a list, and then he also gives us some advice. He gives us a list, and then he also gives us some advice. What's the list? Well, the list is fix your thoughts on what is true and what is honorable and what is right and what is pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and praiseworthy. And then verse 9, he says, then the God of peace will be with you. Here's the list, folks. Make sure that these things, it's almost like the fruits of the Spirit, okay? It's the fruits of our thoughts. It's what we're allowing into our lives. Fix your thoughts on what is true. You know, if you take this list and you just apply it on the things that you are thinking about, the things that you are allowing to captivate your thoughts. You know, how are we doing with that? You know, is it a thing that pleases God? Now I want to tell you folks that this is something that you and I have to do. And here's the thing with me that really helps me in doing this. You know what? I want to see God in everything. I want to invite the Lord to come along everywhere I go and be a part of every thought and every action. Do you see God everywhere? You see, I think for most of us, there's some times in life where not only do we not see God everywhere, we don't want God everywhere. There's things about our life, there's rooms in our house, there's parts in our mind that are off limits to God even. We need to see God in everything. My kids used to really make me laugh because, you know, being a pastor and raising children, and you know, we'd be going somewhere, we'd be on a trip, and I'd say, girls, Sarah, Kristen, let me just tell you something, okay? And that was their key, that I'd seen something, experienced something, that God had spoken to me, that there was some lesson, and that here comes God, here comes Dad's preacher voice coming out, and he's going to teach, you know, that kind of moment, okay? And it used to be that they used to laugh at me when I would say, you know, girls, let me tell you something. Okay, Dad, come on, give us what you're thinking about here. But you know what, as they've gotten older, I think anyway, maybe they're just humoring me, but I think they look back on those things and they kind of appreciate a few of them, a couple things that I had said. Listen, folks, when you pay attention to your Heavenly Father, He's going to teach you so much. I mean, when you hold captive the thoughts that are in your mind, when you go through the list of things that are true and right, when you go through that list, when you follow His advice that Paul is giving us here, that things that are excellent, things that are worthy of praise, that those are the things that we need to think about, when we do that, it's unbelievable how often God will show up and will speak to us in wonderful and beautiful moments. You know, I want to be like David, don't you? I love David. David says in Psalm 104, verse 34, he says, may all my thoughts... Now think about that. Before I give you the rest of that, I want you just to think about that and what David is saying here. David is praying, David is declaring that he wants all of his thoughts. You know, we're kind of incremental Christians. You know, I had a friend one day, I was talking to him and he was telling me, we were talking actually out here in the parking lot, and I was talking to him as he was leaving. And as he left, he kind of pitched his Bible in the back seat of his car. And I said to him, I said, well, so what are you doing? And he said, well, that's where I keep my Bible. Right? Well, I always want to have my Bible when I come to church, so I pitch it in the back seat of my car, and I kind of said as serious as I could, you know, don't you want to like look at that sometime during the week? You know, we're such incremental kind of believers. You know, with our praise, with our worship, with our study. But listen, God wants all of us. God wants us to see Him in everything. God wants to captivate our thoughts. He doesn't want us to just try to change our outward behavior to look a certain way. He wants us to really be different. And David said, may all my thoughts be pleasing to Him, for I rejoice in the Lord. You know, sometimes I think our goal isn't to be like David because we really understand the struggle of the Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul said, you know, the very things that I should do are the very things that I don't do. And the things that I shouldn't do are the very things that I do. Think about that and the difference between that and being able to pray to God, God, I want all my thoughts to be pleasing to you. Wow. Such an indicting word. I mean, let me just speak to the guys here for a moment. Guys, can we say that? I mean, the way that we look at women, the way we look at the world. I mean, can we say, God, my thought, all my thoughts, I want all my thoughts to be pleasing to you. You know, ladies, I mean, are your thoughts, are all your thoughts, is your desire to be pleasing to God totally, unequivocally, without reservation? You see, that's what we are called to do. And here's the thing, folks, and I really want to make sure that this message gets out and over loud and clear. We don't do that by the big explosions, by the big changes that happen in life. We do that most often by little incremental changes in life. By allowing God to captivate our thoughts and by helping us to understand that we should never put ourselves in any situation where we think of anything other than God. And that our thoughts are right and our thoughts are pure and our thoughts are lovely and our thoughts are admirable and our thoughts are honorable. And that we fix our thoughts on these things so that the outward expression of our lives can be what God wants them to be. But I want you to know, it all begins with your thoughts. And whatever captivates the most of your thoughts is who you're becoming. And that every sin begins with a thought. And every praise begins with a moment in time in our thoughts where we decide to hold up the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. I don't know if I have any country music fans here. I like country music when I travel and stuff. I do. I listen to it. A couple weeks ago, I ran across this brand new song. And I'm not going to play it for you, but I want to share it with you. And I want to encourage you to look it up on the internet and watch it or listen to it. It's a country song by Tim McGraw. You know him. He's a good guy, I think. And he has a new song out, very simple song. It's called Humble and Kind. You heard this? Oh, my gosh. What a beautiful message. You know, it says things like this. It says, you know, there's always a light that glows by the front door. Don't forget the keys under the mat. When childhood stars shine, always stay humble and kind. Were you ever taught that when you were young? I was very blessed to have somebody teach me that beautiful, simple message. To be humble and to be kind. To treat people as you want to be treated and to not think too highly of yourself. He says, go to church because your mama says to. Visit grandpa every chance that you get. It won't be wasted time. Always be humble and kind. I mean, did you follow your mother's direction easily or reluctantly? I mean, remember when you were young and wanted to go visit grandpa or grandma and you always said, I don't want to do that. And he's saying that's a good thing. It is a good thing. He says, hold the door, say please, say thank you, don't steal, don't cheat, don't lie. I know you got mountains to climb, but always stay humble and kind. What a simple message. He says, when your dreaming come true, when the work you put in is realized, let yourself feel the pride and always stay humble and kind. Don't expect a free ride from no one. Don't hold a grudge or a chip. And here's why. Bitterness keeps you from flying. Always stay humble and kind. I love this line. He says, know the difference between sleeping with someone and sleeping with someone you love. I love you ain't no pickup line. Always stay humble and kind. Hold the door, say please, say thank you, don't steal, don't cheat, don't lie. I know you got mountains. Always stumble and climb. You know, on and on and on this song goes. And it's really neat because it's just such a simple, simple message. Listen, folks, the key to you flying, the key to you climbing the mountain, the key to you becoming totally successful in life, and the key to you experiencing a faith that can move mountains is right in front of you. And there's just little things that you can do that make all the difference in the world. And it really all starts with our thoughts. And allowing our thoughts to be captivated by this awesome understanding of who God is. You know, the Apostle Paul said that I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. That's inside out. With God's help, you and I can change. The Bible says, not by power, not by strength, not by might, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. By God's Spirit, I will and can be different. We can be a new person because the old person is gone and the new person has come. And this small change of allowing my thoughts to be pleasing to Him can and will make all the difference in the world. And I pray that it can make a difference for you. It can all start right now as we bow our heads and pray together. Father in heaven, Lord, I thank you for bringing us here to this place this morning. God, it's so easy to get caught up in the cultural understanding of change in our world to where we change the externals and that we can appear to be changed and that's good enough. But God, I pray this morning over this entire room that we should know and can know that you want to change us from the inside out. That you want us to be different outwardly because we've been changed inside. That we live a life of holiness before you because we understand the grace that we have inside of us. So Lord, I pray that every person in this room this morning can be impacted by that. Can embrace that. And become that kind of person that is changed from the inside out by your power and by your might. And Lord, right now as we just sing and share and just worship with this wonderful song that talks about brokenness, God, may we just allow you to break us from the inside and help us, Lord, to know that it's only by your might and by your power that we can ever be different and that we can ever be changed. So Father, may we take captive every thought and make them obedient to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And may it begin for all of us and for any of us right now, in this moment, and in this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.